16 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you. Well, a lot to get to today, and a big one coming up later on tonight. After our high school cage matchup concludes, Olmsted Falls taking on Midview, we will join the Columbus Blue Jackets radio network in progress, the CBJ, with a big one tonight, taking on the Washington Capitals. And here to talk Blue Jackets hockey with us, a man you hear at the beginning and in the middle and at the end of these Blue Jackets broadcasts, the one and only Ryan Mitchell. Ryan, thank you for the time, my friend. How are you?
Oh, doing well, guys. Hope you're doing well as well, as well as the CBJ are doing right now, coming home off of a three-game road trip where they went out west to the Mountain Time Zone and then to Vegas, and, well, they came away with all 6 points. And, you know, we talk about it with baseball all the time. You got a West Coast trip for a Eastern Time Zone team, and those are really, really tough trips to make because of the time change. Your body rhythms aren't really always on. And so for the Jackets to go out there on the heels of a five-game losing streak to come back with all six possible points, that is a huge, huge trip for the CBJ. And now they're back home for an equally big homestand. It's only two games, but they happen to be against the two teams they're chasing in the Metro.
Absolutely. And I want to begin with what you started with. You know, a lot has changed since we last spoke. We had you on a couple weeks ago, and at that time, things were really going the wrong direction for the Blue Jackets. But what has changed exactly on this three-game winning streak?
Well, I think something that changed maybe before the streak even began was the power play all of a sudden is clicking since January 10th. And, I mean, you can't find really a more arbitrary date, but you look back to where things started to turn around. The Jackets had a second-rated power play over that time. So going back over the last month, the CBJ have been among the league's best in converting their power play opportunities. The penalty kill continues to be strong. Sergei Bobrovsky has played a little bit better as of late, and he's been getting a lot of the starts in net. And the plan is for him to start again tonight against Washington. But I don't know if, I mean, and when we had talked about it, Martin St. Louis had been brought into the fold to help work on the power play. It seems really unlikely that just his presence has accounted for all of this turnaround. Now we've seen Alexander Wennberg shoot the puck on the power play and score a goal, which has been something of a unicorn over the past couple of seasons. So maybe just a mindset change and a little bit of confidence for the CBJ in that regard has gone a long way toward that. Now, as we also looked ahead at that trip, both Colorado and Vegas were in the midst of long losing streaks themselves, and Arizona's not a great team. So the Jackets were able to take care of Colorado and then Arizona. But once the Blue Jackets went on the road, then Vegas rattled off a couple of wins in a row. And that was the toughest opponent for the Blue Jackets on that road trip. And they wound up going out ahead, and then Vegas tied the game again. And then Cam Atkinson finished the rest of the way with two goals in that one to give the Blue Jackets the tie and then the win. So I think there are some things that are just starting to coalesce, maybe is the best way to say it, because the personnel is the same. Now, who knows, next time we talk, that may not be the case, because with the trading deadline coming up in a couple of weeks, there are probably going to be some moves. But I think it's just a matter of the right guys doing the right thing at the right time. Boone Jenner getting healthy, that was a huge, huge help for the Jackets. So I think that's what's happening more than any change really going on.
You mentioned Cam Atkinson's two goals the other night against Vegas. I mean, I thought a remarkable performance by him. That first line played tremendously, but they'd been benched against Arizona essentially in that third period by Coach Tortorella. That was a great response, it seemed, by that first line, especially Cam Atkinson, who scored that big breakaway Panarin kind of cut him open on.
Yeah, it was a weird thing when they were in Arizona and they were trying to finish off the game against the Coyotes to see that top line not on the ice for the last half of the third period. But the other lines were just skating better. Boone Jenner was back in there centering in between Nick Foligno and Josh Anderson. Boy, I like that line a lot. They really make you work. They've got some, you know, with Foligno and Jenner, you've got 30 goal scorers in their history. Josh Anderson, I don't know if he's ever going to get to 30 a season. He's got the potential to do that. But that's really a line that can provide a challenge for the other teams. The third line was skating well. The fourth line was skating well. So that enabled John Tortorella to maybe, you know, when he talked to the press, he wasn't necessarily talking with those guys during or after that game. But he was sending a message. If you're not going to play the right way, and they had failed on a couple of opportunities to get the puck out of their own zone, it led to scoring chances the other way. So he took that opportunity with the rest of his team performing well to send a message. And I think it's pretty obvious message received, because in the next game, that line, that top line, was a force. And Atkinson has been such a key, important cog for this team. John Tortorella was talking about him to the media today about just how valuable Cam is to the Blue Jackets. He's used on the power play. He's used on the penalty kill, obviously a top-line winger. And he wears a letter on his sweater, so you know he's counted on for leadership as well. So for him, I guess most particularly, to answer the bell after that last game is a huge sign for the Jackets. And again, it may be a symptom of this team coming together, deciding, hey, with all the extraneous stuff going on around this team, with all the rumors, with all the innuendo about who's going to be here and who's not, let's just get together and play our best hockey for as long as we can and let the chips fall where they may.
Ryan, wanted to ask you about the trade deadline. That comes up in, I think, 13 days here in the NHL. Have you heard any rumors, Jackets, or maybe some other teams in the Metro, as tight as this is, and now all of a sudden Carolina coming in from behind with the winning streaks they've had of late, of anyone moving around there? I know the Penguins have already gotten a little younger with some of the moves they made.
They have, and actually they just had a trade with the Blue Jackets the other day for a minor league defenseman for a conditional draft pick. That's not going to move the needle at all. But certainly, you mentioned Carolina, and they are 5 points ahead of Philadelphia. But the Flyers are the team right now that people have their eye on. They just lost yesterday against Pittsburgh in pretty convincing fashion. But prior to that, they had won 9 of their previous 10 games, and the one they lost was in overtime. So they had been picking up copious amounts of points, but it may be too little too late for Philadelphia. As you look at the second wild card team now in the Eastern Conference, it's a tie between the Jackets and Pittsburgh, however you want to look at it. One team's in third place, and one team has the second wild card, and then there are 8 points separating themselves from Philadelphia. Carolina is in between, as are the Buffalo Sabres in the Atlantic Division. But Philadelphia is hard charging, and they've got a forward, Wayne Simmonds, who has been on a lot of people's radar basically since the year began. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and he can provide some scoring and certainly some physicality. But if Philadelphia thinks they're in a position to make a move, well, maybe they hang on to him and they look to add. You know, in terms of the other teams, Washington, I think, really likes where they are at in a lot of regards. The New York Islanders just have to be pinching themselves every single day to find themselves atop the Metropolitan Division with 72 points. Boy, have they just absolutely gone on a tear. Barry Trotz has done a great job there. He may already have the Jack Adams Award wrapped up for the NHL's Coach of the Year after moving on from Washington. But for the Blue Jackets, when you talk about rumors, obviously the two Russians are the ones that are talked about most often. In terms of who they might be looking to pick up, you look at Ottawa with Matt Duchene at center and Stone on the wing. They need to find certainly somebody. They would like to find a top-type centerman. I don't think that they're necessarily completely happy with where they're at on defense. They may like a guy with some playoff experience who can play a more physical style to complement the scorers that they have and the top pair and even in that second pair on defense. So in terms of names, there are so many guys out there and so many guys that feel a need not only for the Jackets but for other teams. So I think as of right now, it's a buyer's market. So I don't know if the Blue Jackets are really going to get a ton in terms of what they're trying to give away or trying to maybe get rid of if you talk about Panarin and Bobrovsky. I don't know if the market will bear what they hope it's going to.
I know. I think I heard Bob McKenzie the other day talking about Panarin kind of being an own rental, so to speak, for the Columbus Blue Jackets going into the postseason. But that's a guy who did come out and speak publicly with the press and said on July 1st the Blue Jackets had a chance to kind of reel him in. Is there anything to that? Does the team believe that?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, based upon the interview that he gave, his intonations and the interpretations therein. It didn't sound like there was really a whole lot of chance that the Blue Jackets and the city of Columbus was at the top of his list in terms of a free agent destination. Now, maybe that's wrong. I don't know. This is a guy who spoke for the first time in English the other day. He had never done it before, and his English is passable, certainly, but you're also talking about a guy for whom English is a second language. So to read all that much into it can be a dangerous thing, but I think he's definitely got a few, and it's been well chronicled, locations that are very close to an ocean, have a lot warmer weather and things of that nature. I think those teams would probably get a really strong look before the Blue Jackets. I think he has really felt the love of the fans here, and I think that means something to him, but I don't know if it means more than being able to look out and see the sunrise or set over a large body of water.
I know Bobrovsky's been playing a little better here of lately. Today, Torts kind of pointed out he's as close to Bob being Bob as he's seen in quite some time. Is there a thought that he could be a possible trade bait guy and Korpisalo could take over that goal position?
Well, that's the big question in terms of that. If they trade Bobrovsky, and I think this recent hot streak, maybe these next two games go a long way toward deciding what Jarmo Kekäläinen wants to do, because you're playing the types of teams that you will probably have to play in the first round of the playoffs. So you're certainly not going to lay all your decision on one game or two games, but it can give you some information. If the Blue Jackets decide that jettisoning Bobrovsky for what they can get in return is what they want to do, then, as you mentioned, the big question is, does Jonas Korpisalo take over in net, or do they look to continue to move for somebody like a Jimmy Howard from Detroit who has an expiring contract, or somebody else of that ilk? I think that there have been times this year that they would have said, well, we like Jonas Korpisalo, let's see what he's got net. But if this team still feels like, and that's been the word has been from the top all the way down, even if we trade these players, we still feel like we're a playoff team and we want to contend. So if they do that, I'm not sure if they would be willing to hand the net to Jonas Korpisalo for basically the remainder of the season and then roll the dice with him. So if Bobrovsky is traded, I would say it's a better than even chance that they look to bring a veteran back in some way in return to at least share time in net with Korpi.
And, of course, later on tonight, the Blue Jackets take on the Washington Capitals. Should be a big one. Ryan, you mentioned it earlier. This is the beginning of a brief homestand, but certainly a big one later on tonight. We appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Always great catching up, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Glad to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ryan. Again, Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, boy, it's crazy how things have changed. Last time we talked to them a couple weeks ago, they were in the midst of a losing streak. They had lost three straight, and then they go on the road. And as Ryan mentioned, certainly a lot of hurdles when you go on the road, regardless of who you play. They win three straight, and they head into tonight's matchup, Matt, on a full head of steam. And this is a big one tonight against the Caps.
Yeah, it's big. They're 4 points behind the Washington Capitals right now. New York Islanders are the top team. They get them coming up later in the week. So it's a big weekend all the way around for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But if they can win one of those games, I mean, especially tonight when you're 4 points down on a team. The other thing is you've got Pittsburgh breathing down your back. And as he mentioned, you've got the Carolina Hurricanes who are all of a sudden starting to come up and sneak up on you. So I don't know. Hopefully the Blue Jackets can get a couple victories, and we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. That becomes extremely interesting if they think they can make a trade. But I'm trying to think of a time a team traded a goalie and made a significant run at the Stanley Cup. I just don't know how that works out unless you bring in, as he mentioned, a Jimmy Howard, who was an all-star this year for the Red Wings, to kind of take over that position.
All right. Well, again, you can catch that game. We'll join it in progress as soon as Olmsted Falls and Midview wrap up. 6:45 is when Ryan Mitchell will be on the air with the pregame coverage. Puck drops at 7, but again, we'll join the Blue Jackets Radio Network in progress tonight. All right, we need to get to a break as we approach the top of the hour. Local news coming your way here in just a few, and then we've got the local beat with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Dave O'Brien will be here in studio with us at 4:10. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Sign up now for Lorain County's Wireless Emergency Notification System. Also known as Reverse 911, it's a reliable method of communication for emergency notifications and weather alerts, including tornado, severe thunderstorm, and marine warnings. It will send emergency alerts directly to the phone number or email that you have provided. It's free, provided by Lorain County Office of Emergency Management.